Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Now, to start today, can we open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 1? And I'll read something else from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. He said in verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory. Please notice this. He said in verse 3 that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, that is the Father, and the exact representation of his nature. And this Son upholds all things by the word of his power. He said when he had made purification of sins, please notice that purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they, that is the angels. Please, my emphasis in this portion is the fact that he said that the Son is the radiance of the Father's glory and is the exact representation of his nature. Just go a bit further down into chapter 2. There's something I want to point out from there. It was speaking about the purpose of the work that the Son did, the Son being Jesus Christ, all right? We're talking about the purpose of the work of the Son, and it was saying, explaining a principle there, that God said some things about mankind. If you read from verse 5, it was explained that God didn't say these things about angels, but he was speaking about mankind. He now said in verse 8, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him, that is mankind. But we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Because of the suffering of death, we see him crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Please, my emphasis again in this portion is the fact that he said that he brought, that it was fitting for him in bringing many sons to glory to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. Now, please, two things note there. Earlier on, we read from that chapter 1, that he said that Jesus was the exact representation of the nature of the Father, and it was the radiance of the Father's glory. And he now said further down that he went through sufferings that he might bring many sons to the same state that he was in. That is what God is doing. Now, you know, we started talking about the purpose of life, and that's what I want to continue to talk about today. Now, please, let me quickly introduce this, and I review briefly. So it was saying that what the Lord was doing, what God was doing in the Lord Jesus, was to prepare many sons to be brought to glory. Now, please bear that one in mind, because you must understand that God has a purpose. We started by saying the purpose of life. And whether we like it or not, no matter how much we want to deny it, we have established it, that there's something inside the heart of man. There's a portion of him that is called the spirit. The body is nourished. Paul explained that we all have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. And that's a matter of fact. Those are the three components of a human being. And that just like the lungs, we crave, all right, for air. And the body, we crave for nutrients. In the same manner, the spirit craves for his own nutrients. It must have it. And if somebody tells that he does not believe in the supernatural, the person is lying. What he's actually trying to do is to deny. He's an assignment from Satan, as far as I'm concerned. He's trying to deny something that is inside him, because human beings are very good at that. A man is suffering. All right, he's broke. He doesn't have any money. He goes to buy clothes he can't pay for because he has to give an appearance that he's doing well. In the same manner, people who are in spiritual turmoil, people who are in spiritual, who have spiritual conflicts inside them, oftentimes they wake up in the morning and start denying things. Are you getting my point? That are actually happening to them. So they come out and say, there is no God. I said this many years ago. One of my colleagues, he said to me that he doesn't believe there's God. Two of them were speaking. And I turned to one of them. I said, oh boy, you are telling me lies. I said, you are telling me lies. You know there is God. But I said to him that the only reason why you are denying God, and this is a matter of fact, the Bible says that men love darkness, all right? And they hated the light
Because if they come out of darkness into the light, their deeds of darkness will be exposed. That's why they hate the light. So they'll be denying the light. I told my friend simply, it was a colleague of mine, I said, the truth is that you just love the deeds of darkness. And if you have to acknowledge that God exists, you will have to stop the things that you are doing. Exchanging one girlfriend in the morning and for another one in the evening. Those things will have to end once you acknowledge the fact that God exists. We said last time that Jesus said to his disciples, he said, this is eternal life, that you know the true God. That's a matter of fact. The knowledge, when you acknowledge, all right, God, then you are already tapping into something. So the light that he pours into your soul, if you are not willing to depart from darkness, it brings conflict into you. So nobody can truly say he does not believe in God. The Spirit demands feeding, and that thing is always reaching out. And that's why men go into the negative side, because the difference between God and the devil, let me say simply, is what they permit. Should I say that again? This is a simple thing. Like I said, Jesus, a man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to gain eternal life? You must understand this. Jesus didn't say, okay, take eternal life by the laying on of hands. Go and do 2 sacrifices and come, and then you have eternal life. He said, you know the law. You know the commandments. And if you know the laws of Moses, do you follow my point? They were tough. So a man had to do certain things to gain that eternal life. And the man said, I've kept all these things from the time I was a little child. You understand? And yet I have not experienced it. Jesus said, you still lack something. What am I saying? The devil, if you went to him and said, what must I do to be rich? He doesn't tell you, don't cheat your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. He doesn't tell you all those things. All right? He tells you one thing to do. Go and bring your son, sacrifice him, and I will give you that which you are looking for. The difference, a major difference, if not the only difference, between the devil and God when it comes to giving us something is what they permit in the process. God will say to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect, and I will bless you. Satan never makes that demand of anybody. Are you getting my point? He will say, walk before me and be perfect. That is God. But Satan will say, don't worry, just bow to me now, and I give you right now. Why are we waiting till tomorrow? What's the wait for? But God says, no, I must perfect something. I'm going to talk about that as we're going on here. You know that God is not just trying to give you something. Are you getting my point? He's trying to work out something in you. Do you get my point? So we're saying that, you see, God created everything. We cannot deny that, no matter how much you want to deny it. Deep inside us, all right, I don't want to spend all the time on that. Deep inside us, there's something that is craving and calling out for the true knowledge of God. But in the process, demands are made. And I'm going to talk about that. Demands are made. When God is making his demands, all right, he demands people come out of the deeds of darkness and come to the deeds of light. People now rise up and start shouting, there is no God. Because they want to abide in the deeds of darkness. If you know history well and watch religious happenings, and this the evolution of all this kind of consciousness on the earth, you will discover that for there to be sexual freedom, are you getting my point? You first had to deny God. That's what people did. So those who brought forth sexual freedom and said there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, you can sleep with one person in the morning, a man in the morning, sleep with a woman at night, and tomorrow find a hermaphrodite. Are you getting my point? There are people who are campaigning that there is nothing wrong with it. Before they could start, somebody else had to lay the foundation that there's no God. Are you getting my point? Somebody else had to lay that foundation. All right, but the truth is that they know there is God. They are just saying all those things so that they can continue in the depravity of the flesh. And Paul said it to us clearly in Romans chapter 1, that when they refused to acknowledge him as God, therefore he gave them over. Say, go ahead, go crazy, go mental. Just to talk about the mentality, you know, the craze, the madness in the minds of people. In the United States, they tell you that, listen, if you kill an unborn child, there's no problem with it. That is, a mother wakes up, I don't want this child, go and abort it, fine. But if somebody else killed that same woman, they charge him for murdering a woman and a child. You look at it, it's pure madness. Why? Because God gave people over to the depravity of their minds. All right? Please, I'm sitting on that thing too much. Let me leave it. I want to get to the main thing I want to say. So you see, God is there, and we know. He created this life. I finally settled on it. He did, and there is a purpose for it. We can say many things about the purpose of God, but there's one major thing. There's a central point that's the purpose of God. And this is a summary of it. His purpose when he created man, all right? First, for creating the earth was created because he wanted to create mankind on it. Every other thing was created so that mankind could come in. Are you getting my point? Mankind was the last because it was the purpose. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make there? Mankind was the last. So you see, the main thing was that he wanted to create mankind. But why did he decide to create mankind? This is a summary of it. So that through him, he will express the fullness of his glory. Do you get my point? Listen, the man, the perfect man that came on the earth, his name was Jesus Christ. And we read just here, Hebrews chapter 1, it said that he's the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. What God is doing in us, now which we now read in Hebrews chapter 2, is that he wants to bring many sons to glory. What he's doing in you, what he's doing in me, is to create something in us so that we can become just like Jesus Christ was, the exact representation of his nature. Please, don't ever forget that. There's a reason why I'm bringing up this matter. You know, last time when we ended, I said something. That you see, many men, they are looking for the true God. Or they are looking for eternal life. But they find a false God. That Jesus said eternal life is in knowing the true God. And I said also, there are many people have come to know the true God. But you see, things are in levels. They have the initial knowledge of the true God. But to come into what the Bible calls the deep and complete and true knowledge of God is another level. You must bear that one in mind. There's what is called the deep or complete knowledge of God, which is beyond that superficial one that many people who claim to be Christians, all right, have. Now, I said, so when people have gotten to that level, oftentimes, now listen to this again, they make another mistake. They start traveling the Christian road on a wrong path. Please, get this point. I told a story last time. Let me just review it so as to use it to tie this in together properly. I said, a man came to me and his spirit was choking, like I said. Now, not choking like the people of the world who don't know God, but because he had come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, what was inside him was a dissatisfaction with what was going on in his life. Physically speaking, he was okay. He had money. He had a nice family. He was a young man, and he had the energy to be able to do what we call working for God. And actually, the main thing I want to talk about is how to work for God properly. Now, he had the energy, and he had gone here and there trying to learn how to work for God. And if you're a Christian, you're listening to this, please pay attention very carefully. Because the Bible says that, watch your steps when you come to the temple of God. It said, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 5, all right? It's very important. You don't just do things for God the way you like it. You must ask God how he wants it done. For example, I wear clothes, we all wear clothes. When people have to iron for me, the first thing I do is to teach them how I want my clothes ironed. There's a way I want my jacket ironed. There's a way I want the collar of my shirt ironed. You don't walk into my house and say, let me help Pastor Banky, and you just start ironing my shirt. I won't even agree. If I see you near my shirt, I shout, stop that. Because the first thing, you must know exactly what I want. Are you getting my point? You don't just walk in and do what you like because you think, are you getting me, that you're trying to make me happy. Many years ago, I told my wife, look, that's why I don't like surprises. Because surprises a lot of times, all right, they surprise me in a bad way, not in the way you intended them. By the time you see the disappointment on my face, you wouldn't like it. Now, my wife can give me a surprise now because she's known me for a very long time, so she knows the things that I like and the things that I don't like. But if you don't know and you surprise me with something, I may be nice, I just tell you a very nice thank you, but I may not really enjoy it. And that's the way it is with God. You must draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. So this man, he said he had worked very hard. And as he was speaking, I was praying and listening out in my spirit for what his problem was. And before he finished, I finally got it. And that is a typical problem you find with Christians today. We read from the book of Luke chapter 10 to emphasize that point. That Jesus was in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their brother. And he came down, he sat down, he was teaching. But so as to make him comfortable, so as to entertain him, Martha was running up and down just to make the man happy. Are you getting my point? But Mary sat down and was listening to him carefully. So Martha, who didn't understand the issue, came and said, why are you tolerating this behavior? This woman, young woman, is not doing anything. She's sitting down and not helping me to make the arrangements. Because she did not know what Jesus was about. That was why she said that. And Jesus now looked in that Luke chapter 10, verse 42. That from verse 41. The Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. He said, Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let me just read it from the New Living Translation. It's quite nice the way he puts it there. My dear Martha, you are so upset over all these details. There is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her. Please notice that. He said, there is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Please notice this thing. So that man, he spoke with me. By the time he finished, I realized what he was doing. And like I said, that's what most Christians today, they are doing. They are trying to work for God because they think that the primary thing God is doing on the earth is to observe people running up and down with the Martha ministry. Are you getting my point? Unfortunately, that is not it. I said earlier, if you want to do something for me, you must first learn what exactly I want. And that's what I'm trying to introduce to us. What is it exactly that God wants? What is it exactly that he is doing on the earth? Remember I said, the general thing can be summarized like this. He wants to bring forth, listen to this carefully, his glory into the lives of people. He wants you and me to become like Jesus was, as it was described, as the radiance of his glory. What it means is that the person through whom God shines forth. That is, if I want to see God shining, I look at somebody. Are you getting my point? All right? And he said the person is an exact representation of his nature. What it means is that for you to be able to shine forth God's glory, you must become like him in nature. And listen to this. Mankind was created to be able to carry that nature of God. Listen, Satan knows this. And what he tries to do is to corrupt human beings so that they will not be able to carry the nature of God in their presence. But what God created the person for is so as to carry that nature. Let me just say this quickly about what sin is. You see, where sin abides, God cannot reside inside there. Are you getting me? So, what you see, I say this to people all the time. Sin is not about what I like or what I don't like. Sin is about what God says about a matter. Bear that in mind. The reason is because it is not my nature I'm trying to create inside you. It is God's nature that's been created inside you. Therefore, sin simply put, it means how far short of God's expectation I'm walking in. That's what sin is. What God is doing, all right, is to bring forth his glory into the lives of people. Therefore, listen to this if you're a Christian. Listen to this. Any work you are doing that is not first of all bringing that glory into your life and second of all helping bring that glory into the lives of other people is a waste of time. Do you get the point I'm making? Because what's God's purpose? That's why we read this. God created man to be able to carry his nature. That's a matter of fact. And sin, what sin does, like I was saying earlier, you know, I say it all the time, that sin is a poison. Sin is not a moral issue. There are things that are sinful, but that are acceptable in many societies. Whether the society says it's okay or not, it's still a sin. What is a sin? It means it's against God's order. That is, God said, before you can carry my nature inside you, you must be like this. So he said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Then I will manifest my blessing through you. Do you get what I'm saying? Sin will prevent the blessing of God from being manifested through the life of Abraham, even if everybody says what Abraham is doing is okay. Are you getting my point? That is why you don't judge what is wrong by what the society says, because you are not trying to reflect the society. You are trying to reflect God. There are things that are legal in some countries. They are illegal in some others. But whichever country is legal in or not legal in, there are things that are just wrong in the sight of God. So even though it's legal in a place, it does not make it right. Like I'd like to say when I'm talking about the matter of marriage, no matter how well you want to argue about whether God allows man to marry more than one wife, read the scriptures well. Nobody who did manifested his glory in that area. Not one. That's a matter of fact. Like I say all the time, David. That was one area where God was very careful to make sure we don't follow the example of David. Call you aside, say, oh boy, you know David, a man after my heart, please, in the area of marriage, don't go near him. He did it badly. Solomon was wiser than everybody on the earth, but he too knew he made a big mistake. He made it Even though the Bible makes it clear to us that in the times of ignorance, God overlooked those things. Even though he overlooked them, he did not bless them. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Just by the way, that's why David was weak so early in life. Moses was 120 years old. His eyes, all right, were not dim and his strength was not abated. At the age of 70, David was tired. What does sin do? This is what sin does. It's a poison. It prevents God's purpose for a person's life from being manifested. Sin is not whether I was caught and I've been disgraced. Whether I'm caught or not, somebody catches me all the time. And it's not even as if he's even angry like, I've gotten you now, I'm going to beat you. No. It's more of what I wanted to do in you will not be done. You are not allowing it to be done. So sometimes people get up, they steal, then they come and give a cut of the money to as an offering. They don't understand what is going on. Give all the money you want. A thief cannot manifest the glory of God. So give all you want. It does not make you manifest the glory. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? So you can give from now till tomorrow. You still cannot manifest that glory because sin is about obstructing your being. You were created. Are you getting my point? I mean, when Jesus bore the sin of the whole world, what happened? He had to shout, my father, why have thou forsaken me? Do you follow the point I'm making? So what is God doing? God is redeeming us. There's another scripture I should read. I think it will help me at this point. Quickly, go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. It will help me explain the thing I'm trying to say. Let me read a portion here, you see. Verse 9, it says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Please notice that word knowledge again. Please notice this. Verse 13. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's where I was going. What he was saying here is simple. Before we can become like that son, the first thing he had to do was to grant us the forgiveness of sins. Are you getting my point? Because sin, what it does is to prevent us, listen, from increasing in the knowledge of God, thereby expressing the glory of God for this earth. Say, Pastor Bank, God, by the glory of God, let me explain something quickly. Every time you complain about what is happening on this earth, that is the manifestation of the absence of God's glory. Listen, you sit down at home and say, how come power is not constant? As simple as it may seem, but it's the truth. It's a reflection of the absence of the manifestation of God's glory. Do you get my point? For example, you look around. You say, oh, how come the economy is like this? How come a man marries today? After a few years, he beats his wife black and blue and they separate. It is simple. It is a manifestation of the absence of the glory of God. Do you get the point I'm making? Every time you see a man sick or a woman afflicted, you see a young person die, suffering so much and then die because of sickness. It's simple. It's the manifestation of the absence of the glory of God. And God does not like it. Are you getting my point? When his glory is fully manifested, he said nobody in that city will say I'm sick. He said, when my glory is fully manifested, if a man dies at the age of 100, he will be considered that a young person just died. Are you getting my point? There was something, listen, that God tried to do in the nation of Israel. And let me quickly explain it before my time runs out. And as he said something to them simply. That if you obey these laws, this is a summary of everything he was saying. You will find the glory of God manifested in your land that no pregnant person will miscarry. Do you get the point? It will be so manifested in your land that the abundance of produce that will come out of your earth, before you finish eating the one for last year, this current year zone has already overtaken it. That you will never know lack. No enemy will be able to invade you and succeed. He says simply, it will be like the days of heaven on earth. What does that mean? That is, God's glory will be manifested in the midst of you. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ. Nobody, he said, you must be a teacher that has come from God. Because nobody can do these works except God is with him. And Jesus now looked at him and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see or he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What was he saying? Anytime the kingdom of God manifests, that is the glory of God manifests, every work of the devil is dispelled. That was what Nicodemus saw. Are you getting my point? That he came to see him by night to ask questions. What am I saying? What God wants is for that glory to be manifested in the lives of people, to shine through people. A man came to Jesus, like we said last time. He said, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus said to him simply, follow me, all right, and you will discover it. What was he trying to tell him? He said, if a man believes in me, out of his belly will flow forth rivers of eternal life producing water. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. I'm saying something here. That God is not trying to get us, listen to this, to go to church. I hope you are getting my point. No, that's not his purpose. Some people think that the more they go to church, the more God is pleased with them. The simple question that, did he come here to send you to church? No. What he came to do is to ensure that his glory can be seen in and through your life. And let me say it again. Any work you are doing that is not improving the ability of God's glory to shine through you is a waste of time. And let me say to you boldly, a lot of Christians are involved in the waste of time. Because what we do is that we focus on outward activities. How many times do you go to church? Like they came to Jesus, the man that was praying said, I pay a tithe of everything I get. So we brag on it. We brag on it. We brag on the name of the church that we go to. We also brag on it. I hope you're getting what I'm explaining. But one thing we don't realize is that that's not what God is doing. I said something. Let me quickly say this and I close with it. We'll continue next time. I said that when God wants to check on people, he does not go to church. When he wants to check how you are doing, he does not go to church. The reason is simple. Every wicked soul behaves properly in church. No matter how wicked the man is, he behaves properly in church. And God didn't come to breed good people in church. He came to breed people that he can manifest his glory through. He said, how do I know I'm doing the right work? It's very simple. I'll just drop this one and I leave it. We'll continue next time. If, simply put, if your character is not improving every day, you are wasting your time. No matter how much you go to church, if the same lies you were telling 10 years ago is still found in your mouth, are you getting my point? That church going is a waste of time. The reason is because what God is really doing is purging your inward parts to the extent that it can receive the glory of God so that God can dwell inside you, so that you now be described exactly like Jesus was described, that man is an exact representation of his nature. That is what God is doing in the life of the believer.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng, or PastorBanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.